bullshit, it's all just dumb gay politics. America's gotten kinda whack, but we're not gonna let it go down like that, cause we got a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. We probably don't have all the facts, but we got opinions and we'll probably backtrack. That's why it's a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. It's all shit. It's all shit. I mean, are we gonna die? I don't know. You're extreme. I am extreme. It's all shit. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit is Trumpanus. T-R-U-M-P-A-N-A-N-A-S. What? I don't know. I don't even know.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our Dumb Gay Podcast. I'm Julie.
And I'm Brandy.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all the dumb gay shit happening in the world like we're talking about reality TV.
Happy Super Tuesday, Mau Mau. We are voting motherfucking machines. It's called civic duty, bitch.
Here's my selfie. Here's my selfie. Click, click. I voted. I vote. Just hashtag just me voting. Hashtag here we are voting.
Hashtag heroes.
Oh, yes.
Hashtag I vote.
Hashtag citizen. Hashtag patriot.
Patriot.
I mean, hashtag didn't write a name in because I'm not a fucking moron and I voted for Joe fucking Biden. Okay?
Yep.
Don't be an asshole.
We didn't write any names in at any point.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true.
I mean, and,
I voted for who was there. Okay? I voted for who was fucking running.
Yeah.
And you know what? There were names I didn't recognize. And thank God you, my darling, you did all the work and told us who we needed to vote for. You did all the work because I didn't do any of the work. I just clicked.
Yeah, no, other people did the work for me. I just had to go look up
who
we were instructed to do.
Right.
But still, it did take time out of my day.
We sure did.
Very busy.
Very busy.
Nonstop. And, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, things might not be rewarding, but on our Patreon podcast, we started doing, we do 3 days a week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, hour long podcast. They come out at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. For the $4 a month people, we do our Wednesday podcast, which is the wrong side of the takes. Now the $8 and up, they get three podcasts a week, but our $4 a month people, we still love them. We did our very first wrong side of the takes and I did this whole thing on like Ozempic.
Right.
And how, why are we pretending that Oprah and Ricky Lake aren't on fucking Ozempic? And like, and I was so like nervous about it and I was, and you're like, that's the point of this. We just got to do our wrong side and, you know, not be scared of backlash. And da-da-da. And then less than a week later, she admitted it.
Motherfucking Oprah taking herself off Weight Watchers, giving all the money to whatever charity she's giving it to, and said, yeah, 2 years. For 2 years, she's been on whatever, whether it's Ozempic or one of them, Wegovy or whatever.
Poor
the fuck
Weight
it is.
Watchers, they're like, okay, bitch.
Weight Watchers is, here's my prediction. Weight Watchers, I believe, is going to get in business with one of them, Ozempic, let's say. I know there's a lot of them, so let's just say Ozempic. And they're going to make the Weight Watchers Ozempic shot with that will go along with a Weight Watchers
meal, by the way, is a great idea.
It's a great idea.
Because
that's what I'm going to do.
Losing weight is impossible.
Impossible.
No matter what you've done.
Impossible.
And if you want these takes, you should subscribe to our Patreon podcast because we go in detail and we do, you know, talk about how I don't care if you get the motherfucking lap band. You still got to have Weight Watchers because it's
whatever.
So hard
it's
to still lose weight.
Yes, it's just hard.
It's hard.
It's just really hard.
So anyway, I felt psychic.
It's great.
I felt Karma 24.
Amazing.
There was no greater like sign from the universe.
The universe.
I was just like, oh my
Plus,
God.
Plus, we were saying, take the shame away. There's no shame.
There's no
whatever
shame.
You need to do. And there she was, Oprah, saying, take the shame away.
I mean.
Okay, Bropra.
Talk
that's
about
you.
Being
Bropra.
Yeah. Okay, bro.
Bropra. That's you.
You can sign up for the Patreon below, like in the description of this podcast. You can go to our website, julianbrandy.com, for all of the Karma 24 delights. I mean, it just keeps. we're just in the first week of March, and I mean, it has been raining the karma down.
Raining it down. It's been wonderful. Wonderful.
Well, Megan Weinstock, who we love, she sent us a picture of her and her family for the Drugged In bulletin board.
Great.
We learned of Megan on Patreon's Got Talent.
Yes.
Which preceded Wrong Side of the Take.
Right.
And she's such a delight, and I'm so happy we're going to have a picture of her family. Her family is so cute.
She wrote, "Julie and Brandy, I just wanted to thank you for Patreon's Got Talent. Both my daughters were on it, and when I tell you it brought me so much joy during January is a month that's not so happy." Like January.
No, January.
January. Can't even do it again. "Which is always dark and hard for me. Hearing your funny comments and watching your expressions equals joy overload. I'm including our family Xmas card. I'm sending along a gift that hopefully arrives soon from Everyday Oil, one of my fave Christmas gifts this year. Sending you love and much thanks. Happy Karma 2024. Love, Megan."
She sent us two oils, and God knows
I love an oil.
She's an oil queen, Megan.
Oil.
An oil queen. It says use every day, all over.
All over.
Okay, it's called Mainstay Organic. It looks very baller. Organic.
Organic. I'm gonna put it all in January.
January. They have all kinds of choices, but I'm so happy she set us up with this like first one before we get, because they have all argan oil, you know, jojoba. Just kidding. Oh. We know that's not how you say it, but that's how you say it.
I love oil.
Let's just, her Christmas card is really sweet, or her holiday card. I just want to point out her little daughters were both in Patreon's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
She totally ignored her son for us, which is fantastic. But now we get to see him.
Oh.
She put a little description of her family on the back of this holiday card, and I just think it's so cute, and we can inspire everyone. People are like, bitch, it's March. We're not thinking about our holiday cards. But you know what? Before we know it, it's going to be December.
It's crazy.
Like, yep. I'm Airbnb-ing here with you.
Mm-hmm.
When that is done, it will be May.
Shut the fuck up!
I mean, that's like halfway through the year.
I don't even want to talk about it.
So let's hear Megan's Christmas card or holiday card.
Liv is a freshman at Berklee College of Music in Boston. She's studying songwriting and voice and collecting Taylor Swift cardigans. We miss her lots. Jack is a junior at Lincoln Park High School. He's running track and cross country and is now the tallest one in the family. He is a tall drink. Zoe's in first grade and is on the dance team. She loves recess and lunch and hopes to be the boss of the world one day. Megan and Michael are planning their next adventure somewhere warmer. Michael is hoping it doesn't involve more dogs. They have three dogs, three fucking cute ass dogs. Okay. So thank you for that. I love that. What a fucking, you have an awesome fucking family.
Yeah.
Good for fucking you.
So cute. Liv and Zoe were in Patreon's Got Talent. And I just think, and they're all so talented and so cute. What a wonderful family. I can't believe that Megan listens to this garbage trash podcast. We love, so grateful for her. And thank you for the oil.
Yeah.
I mean, come the fuck on. Okay, so Natalie Gilbert, our favorite food truck lesbo from Colorado, of the many, has sent us coffees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have Natalie's picture on the Drugged In bulletin board, and we also met her at our Austin show.
Yes.
So she is allowed to send us treats with no pick.
She's allowed to send treats with no pick.
And I don't think she included a pick.
Okay, don't see a pick, but okay. I do have this card.
We know what she looks like.
Yeah, it says, "Ladies, whew, I've been wanting to send this in for over a year, and now I am at a loss for words. I love you both so much, and am forever grateful to the 14 and the new video tier. I am deep in my dumb feelings, and Karma 24 can't start coming through fast enough. I can't wait to send in my blind item when I get the courage, because, wow, y'all are always so on point with the timing of it all. Lisa is still alive, and I feel her in about what's doing with you and the papas. Updated photo coming soon. Smooch, Natalie Gilbert."
So Lisa does the food truck with Natalie.
Okay.
And we have her picture too. If you're video queens, we have a video tier on our Patreon. It's $12 a month and you get three video podcasts. You also get the audio podcast. So if you're not somewhere where you can watch the video, you can listen to the audio, watch the video later. And when she mentioned blind items, we do Wrong Side of the Takes on Wednesdays and we do Blind Item Fridays, where listeners send in blind items about their family, about celebrities, Or they do questions and advice and, you know, music requests. And it's a whole
thing. And the blind items are really, I mean, you forget that people run into celebrities and have celebrity sightings all throughout the world. Okay.
And you know what? Craig from Fresno, if you're familiar, sent in a great one.
Ugh,
and we had a great time.
So good. Okay. So she sent what must be freshly baked cookies from the food truck.
Oh my gosh. I mean, did she bake these? Natalie, you could use some goddamn pipe. She must have.
She must have. Because these look homemade.
But I mean, have they been sitting there for a year?
No, I think she made them and just thought in her mind, like, I'm going to send these bitches these fucking cookies.
Oh, wow.
So that's amazing.
I can smell them.
Yeah. Mm. And she also sent like a dish towel that says, hey, lady, your bird feeder is empty. And it's a squirrel that's mad on the bird feeder.
Oh, which
is perfect.
God, that's perfect. That's what she's been meaning to send for a year.
Yeah, because this couldn't be more true.
Natalie, I mean, you must have been having on the psychic wave that I was with Oprah, my best friend, because we got over the weekend a cameo from one of our like favorite babies in Oklahoma, Rudy, his partner. We're not sure what their status is. And you know what? That doesn't matter because love is love.
That's right.
But his longtime 13-year fucking boyfriend, husband, sexy time guy, requested an anniversary cameo for Rudy. And Rudy is the one who sent Julie the video bird feeder.
It's awesome. And
what is it, Memo?
It's the squirrel. The squirrel is in it every day. And you know what? It is empty. And I do need to get food. And that squirrel comes by here and squirrel comes by every window like, what the fuck?
Lady, your bird
feeder is empty. Yeah, lady, your bird feeder is empty.
Honestly. And the video bird feeder takes, and we recommend this for everyone. And I mean, who knows? It probably costs Rudy like $1 million, but like, so we don't know. But you can watch it like a Ring cam, and
great.
This fat ass squirrel is always sitting in there, like chomping down.
Chomping.
It's like, then Julie sends it to my mom, and they're both just ladies with empty bird feeders.
Yeah.
Julie and my mom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
And that's it. Okay, now we get to hang out with one of our favorite comedians and talk some shit.
I do whatever the fuck I want. That's how I got famous, talking shit. And I'ma keep talking shit. I'ma keep talking shit till the day I die, bitch. Matter of fact, I'ma record something. So when I'm dead and I'm in a casket, I'ma be on a fucking radio talking shit like, yeah, at my funeral, let me tell you about these motherfuckers.
Okay, this is our segment called Talking Shit, where we hang out with comedians and talk shit about politics. Why? Because talking shit is fun and politics is gross, especially in an election year.
That's right, which is why we're so excited for our guest today. He's a hilarious actor, writer, comedian, whose resume spans from the stage to the screen and back again, hunty. If you haven't seen his Chloe Sevigny videos on YouTube, you are not living. They've got a million, billion, gazillion views, and the number goes up every time someone has a birthday. So without further ado, it's time for Brandy and I to talk some shit with our friend, Drew Droege. Hey, Drew.
Hi,
Drew. Nice to have you back.
Oh, glad to be back. It's been a minute. I'm so excited to talk shit.
We had on the guys from Reality Gaze, and they were like, oh, we're going to Drew's live show. And I was like, that fucking little fuck. He didn't invite us to his live show.
Together.
Now, what was this live show that we were not invited to?
You were? Well, I mean, I posted about it, whatever. I'm doing readings of a new play that I wrote called Messy White Gays about gay white men and how we're problematic and we don't think that we are in shitty ways and how it opens with a murder. It's really over the top. It's a, you know, it's a five actor play, but every single character is a white gay man, and we're all terrible people.
This sounds like something we want to see.
Yeah,
like, right now.
Y'all would enjoy it, and I would hope that you could add something to it. It's just my comment on, you know, and just with how we dispose of each other and how we throw each other away. Like we just murder. We may as well murder each other and just dispose of the body and move on. But also, like how you go to parties and it's only white gay men at these parties. And I'm like, do you know any people of color, any women, any trans people, any of that? Okay, cool. No, we talk about how much we love that and support that, but do we include that? So I just wrote a play, hopefully a satire, about what I think is wrong with us, and myself included, and, you know, hang myself out just as much. But the next readings we're doing are in April in New York. We're doing 4 nights in April, and we're trying to get people invested in trying to do a production. It's a lot of money to do theater right now, and it's so hard to get people to go to the theater right now. But what's been encouraging is people are coming, because gays love to drag themselves. The title... I was called a messy white gay one time online, and a friend of mine said, that's a good title. And I said, oh, it's, I was gifted that title, and it's like so good, because people hear that, like, I want to see that. Also, we're at a point now that, like, I want to be a good gay person in life. I want to go through the world being a nice, kind gay person, but I want to show what's wrong with us on stage. And I think we can make fun of us. We should make fun of ourselves. If other people are doing it, like, why can't we drag ourselves and say, like, this is fucking wrong about us, and we can do better, and we can laugh at ourselves at the same time.
That's always a turning point with any group, I think.
Yeah, once you start dragging your own self is when things only can get better, really. Yeah. And you get funnier, too. We have to do that. I mean...
I think so. I mean, also, when we're talking about, you know, we want to enter the conversation about racial equality and diversity. I'm like, I'm a white guy. I don't need to write about cultures and races I don't understand firsthand.
Right.
I mean, I don't have anything interesting to say about that. That somebody who's not a white guy would be way more interesting to talk about. So what can I talk about? Well, I don't want to celebrate white guys right now. Never really have been about that. So, oh, I know. I can just point out, like, what we do wrong and what we can, you know.
Yeah, and the fact that you're pointing out what we can do wrong is what you're doing right. So it's like, that's what we can do right. What can we do? What are we supposed to do? We can only do that and then laugh about it, which is the best way for people to unify around it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
okay, so let's talk shit about Trump. Let's start there. Today is Super Tuesday. It's like something like 18 states are picking their primary candidates. There are a lot of like interesting races around the country, but of course the one we care about is like mainly presidential.
Right.
What are we going to do when Trump gets elected in November?
I feel confident that Trump will not get elected in November, but I think your fear is grounded. I think it's valid, and I think we should all be terrified until November and get out the fucking vote. Get more people to vote. There's so many more of us than there are of them. Also, there are a giant number of never Trump Republicans that we have to get on the side. It is not a terrible flavor for them to vote for Biden. It's harder to get a lot of us to vote for Biden. And I think it's just a matter of us having to realize, like,
right,
calm the fuck on. We have two choices, and we can talk theory. We can all go back to college and talk about, like, ideally who we'd like to be our leader. Mm-hmm. Ideally, it would not be, you know, an 80-year-old who, I know the age, I know all the factors, but overall, I think he's been a great president, Joe Biden. And I think he's done lots of great things. Also, that's our choice. That's who we have to get. But there are Republicans who hate Trump just as much as we do. And those are the people that we have to get on our side. And then we have to get enough of us out there to just make that vote happen. Because when you're seeing in the Republican primary, when it's like 40% are voting for Nikki Haley, like, that's a big number, you know, and it may not get her a lot of delegates and delegates, not delicates. She has plenty of delicates.
Nikki Haley delicate.
But no, it may not, you know, but I love that she's still in the race. I love that she won D.C. It's like, yeah, because mainly because it keeps Trump up at night. Anything that bothers him and upsets him and penetrates his skin, I am all for. Like, this is Marie Antoinette at this point. Like, we're so ready for this person to just be out of our lives. There are enough Republicans who are not going to bend in October, in November. We have to believe that, because Roe versus Wade and January the 6th turned a ton of them. Those were two things that we were already on board with. This guy's a fucking asshole. These people are monsters. They're any good. But a lot of Republicans who stayed with him then, I do think, never thought Roe v. Wade would get repealed. That backfired majorly in their faces. We've seen that in all the elections. And the January the 6th thing, a lot of people, family members of mine who are Republican, were so upset by that. And I think the rest of us were like, Yeah, we thought that would happen. But that was something that I think for a lot of people, and, you know, the Republicans who were like, they were going to kill Mike Pence, and that means something to them, you know.
Yeah, would mean something.
Well, let's take a state like Indiana, Mike Pence's state. Uh-huh. Now, that's a red state.
Yeah.
So if those people who, you know, who were turned off by January 6th and love Mike Pence and his, you know, gay conversion therapy and stuff, what if they just don't vote as opposed to vote for Biden? Will that still move the needle? No, because it's a red state, right?
I don't know. I think if enough of them stay home and don't vote, which also will be the case, there will be some people that are like, I don't like either one of our choices. I'm not going to vote. It's just a matter of more of us getting out and doing that than them.
How are we going to get through to the, I'm starting to get more pissed off at the progressives. Like, we know,
I
we know the MAGA, we know, go die, go kill yourself, go jump off a cliff. Regular Republicans, whatever, we can deal with. It's in our own house who are talking about writing, I'm going to write in a name. I'm like, I'll write in your fucking name. I will write in your fucking name, you asshole. What do we do?
It's also the privilege you know, it's like, how dare you? We saw what we've already seen, what we've lost. You know, it's like, how dare you?
It's, I feel like we're dealing like something has regressed more, even more. With Trump, we've already seen the regression in the cult. With the progressives, it's like, why are we all, or not we all, but why are so many of us turning in to teenagers who are like you, or in college?
We won't be ignored. Like,
we won't be ignored, Dan, or whatever. Like, and we obviously, we get it. Idealism and all of it is important. What? But right now, in this moment, it's like, I don't know what words to say to someone who says, I'm writing ceasefire into a ballot. I don't know what to say.
And also, I think people think they get points for that on some level. Mm. And all, you're just throwing your vote away. You're throwing your voice away. You're fundamentally not understanding the system. You haven't educated yourself on how elections work. Right. You know, I vote my heart on the SAG Awards.
You know, the even then, I sometimes
Sarah Silverman was nominated for Best Actress. I thought she was amazing in that indie film she did. I knew she wasn't going to win. I voted for Sarah Silverman.
Mm.
I'm not voting for Marianne Williamson.
Ugh.
I wouldn't anyway. Get fucked. No. But like, it smacks of privilege. Yeah. And it's why I understand the MAGA people that look at us and say, you will turn on yourselves. You are your own enemies. You fight within versus like actually looking at big picture. And if you're actually a liberal person, you think about everyone on this earth and their needs and their human rights. And you think about, how are we going to do that? And we've already taken rights away from women. We've already taken rights away from trans people, from gay people, regressed in the last few years with a Democratic president.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just thinking that you, just because you can't stomach the thought for whatever reason. And look, I get the thing. We should always be laughing at the person in power. We should always be, as comedians, we should always be throwing shit at that person, no matter who it is. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But you vote for them.
Yes.
You know, I had issues with Hillary. I didn't have issues voting for her.
Right.
Same. You know,
it's And there's also a difference you have to, especially right now. It's Hillary versus Obama, which we could have all, and that was even fun. That was even fun, okay?
Yes.
It was a good time. She's a bitch, whatever, all the shit, okay? She's a fucking bitch. She calls women sluts. I was right there, and then I voted for her, okay? But now we're dealing with Trump and this Republican Party, and still it doesn't get through to these people. And it's just like, yeah, you're right, Drew. It's the privilege of it all.
I do think that with how well Nikki Haley has done, that he would consider taking her as a running mate. I mean, that's obviously consideration, one of hers as well.
Mm-hmm.
All of those people, would they then go vote for him?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that they would really see that as, they would lose respect for Nikki Haley for that reason. Because I think the only thing Nikki Haley has right now is that she's not Trump. And what's scary about Nikki Haley is that if she wins, everyone's gonna go, well, at least she's not as bad as Trump. And she's younger and smarter and better suited for the job in good ways and bad as president. So she could get a lot more evil shit through.
That's
and
right.
All of us could go, well, at least she's not Trump. But at the end of the day, if Nikki Haley were president, we don't have a complete lunatic in charge. You know, like it wouldn't be this person who's literally said, I'm going to be a dictator on day one. He's like, I'm going to punish all my enemies. You know, like day one, California is like, gets no like aid or whatever happened. Like all of a sudden we're just like third world country over here or whatever. And I think there's so much animosity. And I think that Trump has such ego now that I don't think he would pick, I don't know that he would pick her.
Do you think he is going to pick a woman though? I do feel that he's going to either pick a woman or Tim Scott.
Pick a woman. There's some douche nozzle person that I saw that went down to Mar-a-Lago, woman that met with him, who looks very much like one of his types, her name is Christy. I want to say Christy.
That tracks.
Christy Gnome, I want to say.
Oh, she's, that's the, Gnome. She's South Dakota. She's, I believe she might even be the governor of South Dakota. If not, she was. But yes.
Ugh.
Yes. Good
she
one.
Hates gays. She's a gay-hating.
Yes.
Trump-loving person. And she's going to kiss his ass enough and stroke his ego enough. And because Haley is the thorn in his side right now, I would imagine he would do something like that. And the diehard MAGA people would probably, I don't know, that might implode because the diehard MAGA people, I'm sure, hate Nikki Haley because they're standing in the way of Daddy Trump's vision and whatever for America. So I don't know. We're watching the Republican Party dismantle and fall apart. It's just happening a lot slower than we want. Mm. But we're seeing two sides splinter off from like actual conservatives who believe what conservative actually means, who are more like Bush senior, you know, kind of Republicans who are truly like in that space, and the MAGA people who are the most not conservative people ever. Like if you look up what conservative means in the dictionary, we are more conservative than these people who are like, we want to carry guns down the street and wear gold tennis shoes. It's like, what the fuck?
Okay, so Alabama is one of the states having voting on Super Tuesday. So let's talk shit about Alabama. I mean, with all due to the probably two of our 14 listeners who are listening who live there. What did Alabama do? They did some bullshit where they declared frozen embryos are people too.
Yes.
Just not second-class citizens like women and gay people. Hopefully they're not gay people or they go ahead and get killed.
There was a term that I read somewhere that it was whatever the embryos are extraneous babies, extraneous fetuses, but it's still a life. So they're giving it a title.
That's one of those things that's not even up for, that's not an opinion. That's, they're scientists.
It's crazy.
They're doctors who come in and say, that is incorrect.
Uh-huh.
That when you have IVF, when you get in vitro fertilization, there's some number, and I literally just heard this the other day, so I did not look this up, but there's some number like 53% of those don't take. Like it's over half. So that is that abortion when the baby doesn't take? Is that?
Well, why isn't every load, excuse me, that's dropped anywhere?
What about any period?
Period, I guess, but especially sperm, which is going to go into the embryo. That's part of making a human being. Why isn't that, you know, illegal to do or whatever? Exactly. Can you imagine if anything on a man was to be made?
Uh-huh.
Who's going to come knocking on the door like, heard you dropped a load in there. You're going, it just wouldn't happen.
I'm from North Carolina, and when I go back and I have family in South Carolina, and there's so many people in those states who are fighting the good fight and who, God love them, especially when they're just like, they are there, you know? And it's like, I have a brother and sister-in-law who are probably more liberal than I am, and I love that they're raising kids, and they're like, we are, you know. And you go in an election year and those yards, it's just blue, purple. I mean, blue, red, blue. And so overall, it's purple. That's what I'm making. So there are enough people that are fighting there. So my heart goes out to women in Alabama, to queer people in Alabama, trans people in Alabama, or just not insane idiot people in Alabama who are just trying to do the right thing. The allies who are just like, you know, so it's crazy that we still have to keep fighting these things, especially when they're scientifically proven.
Right. Which
like
you can't
believe in science.
Right. Which is then we're lost. Because where do
it's
we
like
even
evolution.
Begin?
It's the same thing.
Right.
You're like, you can argue how evolution makes sense with science. It's also so crazy because I was someone who grew up in a Christian household and we went to church every Sunday. I have pretty conservative parents and we've talked a lot, you know. However, My parents always said evolution and God or it coexist. My conservative mother is very pro-choice. Mm-hmm. It was a big thing for her. When that happened, she said, I'm not voting for Republicans anymore for the first time in my life because of Roe v. Wade being repealed. She thought that would never happen.
Me too.
So, you know,
I used to make fun of her. She'd be like, what about, they're going to take away abortion. And I'd be like, you're so dumb. That's embarrassing. They're never going to do that. Like, and then, and you know, I was like, well, I guess I was wrong there. Wow.
I know. Well, that's the law. That's how it was to be. So those are things that will backfire for them when they're doing that for us. Like, or these poor 15-year-old girls who, when whatever their situation they're in, you know, often assaulted or they, or whatever happens, or the people who are like excited to have their baby and then realize like it's an ectopic pregnancy and the baby might kill you. You know, not only is the baby not going to live, you have to get this out of you because it could. Like these decisions, and these are people who want to have a child and are not like, there are too many of those situations that too many Americans are going to be dealing with and knowing and have in front for people to go, okay, even if I morally disagree with this decision, this can't be law.
And if you're a Republican, the very foundation of being a Republican is small government. So if you believe in small government, quote unquote, then you should believe in, and again, personal free, their whole thing, personal freedom, small government, bodily autonomy, but none of that's true. They in fact want more of it. It doesn't make any sense when they talk. It's like they don't even hear the words that come out of their own mouths.
They only want small government on what they can make money on.
Right.
They don't want regulations.
Right.
But you're right. The second the baby's born, they're like, no government assistance, no help for the child, and figure it out. You know?
I do think this will move the needle, though, like you said, even probably this IVF situation, even maybe more so than at least a woman's right to choose, because fertility issues affect, like,
that's true.
I mean, a large number of women in this country and women growing up, and Republican or Democrat, that's not a party issue. If you're having a fertility problem and a problem conceiving, and particularly now in Alabama, and they're doing it in Florida too, you're not going to be too happy that you don't have the right to freeze your eggs or any of that stuff. I mean, that it all goes into that. And it's like, that is going to piss people off. Yeah. I mean,
absolutely. Absolutely.
And I did just want to say that we do say that about fighting the good fight. It's all the way down to like just walking into Starbucks. Every single interaction in hardcore red states, if you're not, you know, conservative, Democrat, middle, anything, it's like every single interaction you do all day long is like informing people. And it's, you know, you're driving through lawns that say Blue Lives Matter, and just it's like, you know, inundating them. And it's really like important that we have people across doing the shit, because we're on the coast, it's easy here, you know.
Right.
You know, when they know, oh, my favorite barista has you know, not that you, it's probably, you know, abortion might not come up over a latte order, but you know, when you have somebody, it's like, oh, our barista is a they them. Now I know what that means, and I understand that. But I love that person, and they're not an idea. They're not just some liberal cooped up thing that like, oh, exists in California. It is. It's like, oh, that's important. That's huge. And that person has a much tougher life, I think, than we do out here. Mm-hmm. Being whoever we are, because we can just go out in the world and people will just go, great, cool, moving on.
Okay, let's move the shit talking to Colorado.
Okay.
So right. Lauren Boebert, she is a dumb bitch. She's in the House of Representatives. She moved her district because it became too middle and she wasn't going to get elected again.
How is that legal?
Exactly. Exactly.
My father sold Lazy Boy chairs, okay, growing up. And he said actually different furniture lines, but it was mainly Lazy Boy. And he had to live in the district in which he sold chairs. Okay. So you know where I'm getting with this. So we would move sometimes because his territory would change. And it was like, oh, we have to move the family because it's the company law that he has to live within this area that he's representing. That's to sell recliners. How are you just able to move around and go, you know what? But it's like gerrymandering and all of it. It's like they just make it work to their own benefit, because truly, It should always, I mean, if we threw out the Electoral College, we wouldn't even be having any of these conversations right now, because
that's true.
Popular vote always goes in our favor.
Yep. That's true.
So it's just that thing again, we were going, how can Lauren Boebert just change districts? Also, people in Colorado hate her. I was in Denver last year, and again, I was Denver major city, but it was just like in the air how much she was detested. And I did walk by the theater where like a month later she was arrested for
getting finger
jerking
banged
a guy off and vaping at Beetlejuice and then acting like no one told me I couldn't do that. Like she'd never been to the theater before. She is a walking idiot trash whose husband like showed his junk at the bowling alley. That they're horrible. Mm-hmm. So of course I love that her kid rebelled. I hope her kid gives her fits like forever, like all kids are going to do. She brings nothing to the table. That's the thing about these people. It's I don't know. Like
it's all just performative politics. It's nothing real. Yeah. Nothing. And then, oh, I'm not going to get elected here. Let me just move. I'm like, no one, you're not going to lose your own number. Everybody remembers you're getting finger banged in the Beetlejuice and gross husband. Now she has like a restraining order against the ex and then the son, I guess, what's his name? Tyler Boebert. So he's 18 years old. Mm-hmm. She's 36, by the way, Lauren Boebert, just to put that into perspective.
She's a grandmother. That's now. Neat.
So I'm 47 and it always makes me feel crazy when I just think everyone is like older. I don't know. I don't know how old I thought Lauren Boebert was, but it's crazy when you hear that and you're like, cause like I'm Ron DeSantis's age, which is so
weird,
insane to me. Or like, wait, or he may be younger than me. I think he might be like 44 or 45. It's like, what?
That is the weirdest.
I don't know, but it's wild.
It's
even less excusable. I'm sorry. If you are my age or younger, like you're even worse that you're this person.
Well, yeah, but especially since the talk of the town is like, everyone's so old. We need more young people. Well, apparently young people are getting finger banged, fucking jerking people off, fucking Beetlejuice. So
thank you.
What are we doing?
Is there anything charming about Lauren Boebert? Does anyone look at it and go, oh, I really want that person to lead. Like, what about that vibe?
She makes Sarah Palin look charming. You know what I mean? Like, I miss Sarah Palin's fucking, I see Russia from my window. Like, she at least had a nice way about her. This is a fucking evil, monstrous, garbage, hateful. They're so hateful.
Yes.
As I call her, a garbage person. Yeah,
I've said before, the hate is the point.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think we all just inherently, we all look at Lauren Boebert and go, that's the person who made fun of me in high school.
Mm.
That's the person who we all knew was dumb and the only currency she had was evil. Mm-hmm. She just knew like she could just be so mean, but there's nothing appealing about that person. I've not heard a single like plan for the like
No.
How to help anybody or anything.
No. Apparently her son,
it's like 22 like, counts.
What happened? He did identity theft. He went into people's cars and stole money out of their car, out of their wallets, out of their. There's like all kinds of physical theft that he did. But apparently there might be a sex tape. We don't know. That's alleged. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the kid's 18. He's doing all this shit. He walked into 7-Eleven. They found him. They could see that it's him. We know that he did all of it. But the interesting thing is that as Lauren Boebert was one of the main people trying to bring down Hunter Biden, and now her son, who's now going around, and now it'll be interesting to see what happens, what will happen when they throw the Royal Boebert name around and how that's going to take him. But seriously, though, like, will they will try and use their name to get him out of prison, to keep him from, you know, they will use their clout, just like Hunter motherfucking Biden did, in the way that every kid and peer people and family does, right? So she's like, it's not the same, but ultimately it's that hypocrisy that she's trying to flout around right now in the moment.
Well, and she did it at Beetlejuice. I mean, there's her in the lobby going, do you know who I am? Do you have any idea who I am?
Yeah, and you're a slut.
Yeah, we sure do know who you are, asshole. And yeah, nobody should be allowed to say that, like, it's the Alex Murdaugh thing. It's like people are like, because of who you are, and you're like, no, no, no. I think also that triggers a lot of us because we do, to go back to high school, we always felt like, well, you're the son of the mayor, or you're the son of the preacher, or whatever. You're the son of a prominent figure. You'll get away with it.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think we know that. We know that narrative all too well. And I don't think Hunter Biden should get away with it either. I don't think any, it's not a political issue, but it's ironic that she would be so into dragging Hunter Biden.
Yep.
It's always the calls coming from within the house.
Yep.
It's always that story.
Yep.
Most homophobic people have Grindr profiles.
Have their dick in a glory hole.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Of course.
Every time.
Why else would anybody care? Why would you be into that whole thing if you didn't have skeletons in your closet that you're like, oh, this will get them, because it's what you're worried about.
Yep.
Yeah. Why are you so obsessed? No one would bother. You're like picking a thing and being obsessed with it, for no, including her. I mean, she's gone so in on LGBTQ community. She, in addition, the day before this happened with her stupid son, she tweeted out like, the Bidens will go down. The Biden crime family. They love that. The Biden crime. Just fuck off. We'll go down in history as the most corrupt political family. Girl, I mean, you're right up there. Keep going. Your whole family has gone down so far, including you.
It's just amazing that we're living during a time when Trump, who has 91 counts against him, he's in 4 different fucking trials. He was convicted of actual sexual assault. He owes her $85 million. He then defamed her. He's now guilty of that, too.
The son's in Saudi Arabia.
Kushner took $2 billion from Saudi Arabia. Eric Trump's charity is fake. That's a thing. That's a thing. That's fraud. None of the family can do business in New York for 3 years. He still has 4 more trials. Election da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
And in a world where anybody can say anything because freedom of speech.
Right. Anything. And Republicans, whether they're moderate or not, a lot of them just go, well, I'm still going to vote for.
Well, they're all terrified. They're cowardly.
Cowards.
They're just cowards.
Cowards. They're cowards.
Because I've said forever, when a single Republican stands up and says, I am against Trump, I don't, you know, that's the only way to save their party in the long run. But they're all worried about the short run of it all. And they're running it all into the ground. It's just like, you know, I love that when I hear the stories of like Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene are fighting. They hate each other now. Of course they do. Of course they will. They're all going to turn each other.
Oh.
Mitch McConnell and Trump hate each other now. Great.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would pay great money to watch the two of them beat themselves to death yes. in an arena.
And look what happened to Mitch McConnell. He was the biggest coward of them all. He's the top of the cowards. He's going to sit there. He never had the balls after saying, oh, January 6th, that whole thing. And then he stacked, and he just wanted to stack the courts, and he wanted to tell the Republicans, let's just stay with Trump and we can stack the courts. Now the exact courts that he stacked full will be the ones who keep Trump in office, and that's why he's retiring. And
yep.
It's like, good, you took yourself right out of office, which I couldn't be happier. I mean, honestly, I would take Trump over Mitch McConnell. I can't
Mitch McConnell is smarter and more conniving.
And now he's gone. And they will get a bumbling fucking idiot in there to replace him. There will never be. And he's the longest running majority leader ever, Democrat or Republican. He held the office more times and longer than anyone else. And there will never be another Mitch McConnell who will be able to stonewall a legislation like that and putting things on the floor. Like, they just don't have it in them. They're just not as bright as him. I mean, so this is like fantastic news that he's gone. We were going to talk about that, but for some reason it didn't make it on the list, but we just did.
Yeah.
Okay. Quickly before we go, let you go, Drew, I know you have to go. We must talk about the white supremacist fitness clubs. Because a lot of
that was news to me until I saw that on the docket to talk about today. That is wild.
People don't know. What is Trump's shit called? Truth Social? Oh, what? That's not the one. There's some other.
Truth Social is his.
There's some other social media where they're meeting.
Let me see.
It's like maybe it's a white nationalist page.
I'm not
sure.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't know. Drew, did you click on that link for the white nationalists? It's not.
I did not.
Okay.
I did not.
Well, I did.
Nobody wanted the cookies.
So I did. And it is so scary. Like, it isn't just a link that clicks over to like pictures of white nationalists working out. Like, you know, did enough. It's not you. It's it's like I almost feel like I might have gone through the dark web for a minute. You go to these weird things, and that they have all these signs and logos that are like working out, like, but it's almost a swastika. It's a cross, but there's barbells in it, or it's like Brotherhood.
Oh, it's all their crests for all their groups, yeah. The Proud Boys.
And then finally I was like, you know what? I'm in this. I'm just going to fucking commit. I went all the way. Okay. So I went all the
way. She's not scared. She Googled how do we make GHB on her actual laptop and didn't even put on private. I was like, we're on every FBI list in here.
So come, please take your small government, kiss my ass, or large government. So fine. So I finally get to it. I thought I was going to get to, like, you know, a Nazi gym or whatever, but it's not just a gym. It's a lifestyle. And
it sure is.
It's yes. Are they in someone's garage working out? Yes. Are they also in a field working out topless? Yes.
Yeah, because they do like martial arts and stuff.
There's like a lot of man chests flexing together, but like topless with just pants. It was very homoerotic. It did remind me of some gay stuff. It did remind me of,
yeah,
like,
when you're describing it sounded like kind of hot.
It's,
you might want to make it a little more like unattractive.
But also, so is Nazi stuff is tied in. And the play that I'm writing right now, it's not lost on me that the similarities about like Aryan youth and having this perfect body, and how a lot of gay men are about having this ideal body. My play is basically like, it's sort of inspired by Rope, the Hitchcock film, which was inspired by Leopold and Loeb, who were a gay couple who, mm-hmm. in the 1920s, who killed someone just to see if they could. And it was about having the superior body. And they were about this, they were all about the superior race. It was all tied into to fascism. And that's what they sell you on, is there's a perfection. Mm-hmm. And perfect is white, blue-eyed, blonde-haired, you know, 6'1" or whatever, the built body, male, all of those things are like telling you like what ideal is.
Which is weird, because not one Nazi.
It was good looking.
Was good. I mean, the main ones, like Hitler.
Again, yes.
Not I dark mean, I would hair, grow, right?
Coming from inside the house, Hitler.
Yeah.
Hitler was horny for, you know.
Coming from in.
Army inside. Hammer.
Yeah.
Hitler wanted Army Hammer
he
inside
did.
Him.
That inside. Is. Every orifice, like, and all of them, Goebbels and Mengele, and all, they're all just little, not blonde, ugly, yeah. Just, yeah, they all just want an Army Hammer's dick in their face.
Well, these,
just like these guys.
The place is called Telegram. Okay.
Oh, Telegram.
Whatever. Is that like a Truth Social? Julie's going to go onto it now on her phone. She'll get the dark web on her phone. So basically, they go to Telegram, which I'm assuming is a social media site of some sort. And
Telegram Messenger.
Oh,
so it brings conversation in groups to an entire new level.
I've done that. I've done drug deals on it. Like, sometimes it's private. So you can do, it's kind of like
privacy,
you know,
and security. Yeah. Telegram's end to end encryption, customizable themes, so you can use your swastika, and media sharing capabilities make a popular choice for personal and professional communication. Okay.
Right. So it's a private, it's like WhatsApp or whatever. So I guess they go on Telegram, they make their groups, they say their meeting points, then no one knows where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then they all meet and they probably build guns they've ordered off the internet, right. Or whatever weapons,
right.
And they work out and they film it. And they talk about, I guess, some sort of race war they're all planning.
And they are. And that was in there, too. But they also have, like, family dinners. That was in there. There was, like, big family gatherings
with
children.
Oh. Because it said it's supposed to be a place where men, lonely white men, have a community.
You know, so much of it is, obviously, these men are terrified of therapy or actually doing internal work on themselves. But it's interesting when, you know, anyone who's not a straight white man has had to explore that otherness within themselves.
Mm.
You go, oh, I don't fit within this. Oh, I don't. And I have to. What is that about? They've never done that work internally that the rest of us have all just inherently done from the sense we've had consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even understand what privilege is, because especially the ones who are poor, who are, you know, who don't feel attractive or whatever their thing is, they would argue like, I don't have privilege because this and that, because they've never felt other. And if you've never felt other, you don't know, you don't have any creative impulse. You're not a funny person. You're not you're an empathic person necessarily, because you just go through life and just do whatever you want. And you're a child. You don't have to mature past it. You just get whatever you want. So all of a sudden when laws happen and go, you know what? You don't get to be at the front of the line every time. They go, oh my God, I'm getting punished because I'm a white man. I'm a straight white man. And you're like, no, you don't understand what that is. So they need these groups to get together, and they use fear. They use the thing about like, they're going to take this away. I heard this when I was a kid. So many times people said, you know what? By the time we're adults, white people won't be the majority anymore. Right?
Yep. Brandon, yep. You know that too.
And it's yep. like, and I remember thinking, so? Like, that was said to me to be like terrified that we weren't going to be the ones in charge. And it's just genuinely never been a concern of mine
yep.
that we're going to eventually have. And they would say a lot, you know, they would go, you know, and it would always be in some horribly racist, you know, reason.
That's the South.
Again, they would complain that minorities were having too many babies, yet they don't want anybody to have abortions. So I don't know how any of that works. But they use that as a fear tactic of like, you're losing. You're going to get less.
Right.
You know, it's scarcity. And America should be where you could get everything you want. You deserve it. You'd win. You're, you know, and that's what's really happening. These men have no tools. They become adults and they've never had to sit in a corner and not get their way.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed.
And I believe that these violent race wars that they're saying are inevitable and that they're sort of planning, I believe it's kind of already happening, because what comes out of these types of meetings, if you will, most of the time is a mass shooter with a fucking manifesto on his Facebook page or on his gun. It's happened time and time and time again. And so whether it's not going to be some organized, you know, white nationalist civil war, they'll just keep, you know, winding someone up until they go crazy and they send them off into a Walmart with a gun.
Right.
And it's not, I don't know if it's a war, because it's one-sided. Like, we don't know any like groups of color that are going to rise up and like, let's go kill white people.
It's like
we don't
terrorism. Know They're a terrorist group. Group. They're a right. terrorist yeah. group. They are yes. America's Hamas. They are America's
they are.
ISIS.
They absolutely are.
Or whatever. They're the ones perpetrating the war, and then we all have to deal with it and either react, respond, or not, apparently, or do something such as.
Well, and what's so sad is that they take out somebody of their own. I'm really trying to. I realize I've gotten rewarded for talking in my life. You know, yes, I'm a gay man, but I'm also a white man. And I got points. I knew how to raise my hand first in class as a male. That's very male to be like, I have the answer. And I'm trying to learn like I don't have to have an opinion about everything. and it's okay for me to just shut up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, this is a women's issue, or this is a, you know, a black issue, a Latin issue, a trans issue. All I can do is be quiet. And I think that we all have to learn that sometimes with these kind of things of being like, I don't need to have an opinion about that. And I can sit and actually listen to a person of color who can in my face say, you are inherently racist as a white person and you've privileged from what, and I have to go, okay, cool. Yes. I don't lose anything to hear that. I don't lose points to hear someone tell me these things. And in a way it's like, that's the best I could, there didn't need to be a war, like a fight about like winning. It's like, no, for thousands of years we've been in charge and we've oppressed and done.
Maybe that's the thing. I think that's the other thing too, with the group that it's like, well, I always say this about straight men who are afraid of gay men. Straight men who are afraid of gay men are afraid of gay men because of the fact that for them, being sexualized by a man makes them feel like a woman. And being a woman is the worst thing you could possibly be on the planet. You have to be submissive. You have to all of these things, okay? Whether that's true, whether you feel like a woman or not, blah, 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 but to them, that's what it is in their minds, because they sexualize women. So if they're going to be sexualized, then that's the worst thing that could possibly happen. With these white nationalists, it's like, you, like what you just said, oh, the white people are going to be the minority. Well, we don't care. Who cares? But they care, because they know how they treat a minority. So they're afraid that they're going to be treated like that. They're going to walk in a room and be judged. They're going to walk in a room and maybe get beaten up. They're going to get raped. They're going to get whatever, because that's what they do. So to break that cycle I mean, I don't know what the answer is.
Well, it's cool that you're doing this show. You wrote that show.
It's fucking awesome.
That's a small like step. Yeah. I mean, that it's all to me. It's all things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the only thing. Yes, I mean, you know, right. I hope it's nice when I hear people that say there's more you know, on the play's mind than just the comedy of it all. Because yeah, like I care deeply about what we've done wrong, and I don't know how to do it any other way. Like I am not going to go do humanitarian work somewhere to right. just let my way in and be like, I also am going to be like, I want to be part of the conversation and I want to be moving that needle forward. And I don't want to be proud of like, oh, look what we've done, because look at the fucking world we're in right now. And I think we can open up these channels and also see. Also, I've learned so much just by, like I said, I'm just learning to shut up, but I'm also kind of going, oh, let me consider that. Let me consider, what if we're all wrong? And we can hear that. And it's really satisfying to apologize, to say I was wrong, to learn and to grow. Well, I think we have to use, like, we have to listen to our rage and use it in some way and not be crippled by it. And I've also just seen so many, I mean, film and TV, movies and TV, okay, whatever. I get they have a million studio notes, they have to sell tickets, whatever. But with theater has to come from a place of rage. Comedy has to come from a place of like you think you can't not talk about. And I'm going to a lot of things and I'm seeing my own opinions given back to me. And I'm just like, I don't fucking care. Like I already felt that when I walked in the door. Now $100 and 2 hours later, I don't change at all. And so, yeah, I'm like, this pisses me off and I want to write about it. And I don't have any other way of doing it. And it'll be the best way that I think I can affect anybody is that. So,
well, Drew, thank you so much for doing our stupid podcast.
I love your stupid podcast. This is so fun. I love all these good thoughts and good feelings we had.
Tell our 14 listeners where they can find you, where, how they can get in on this live show. I mean, we want to do it too.
When are you going
to
do it again in LA? Yeah.
We are doing, I would say you can follow me at Instagram at Drew_Drogi. And on that, I will post in probably a couple of days, a link to the live readings that we're doing in New York in April that will be up soon. We're doing it April 7th, 8th, and 9th at Soho Playhouse in New York. And that will, those are going to be fully staged, you know, scripts in hand, but they will be blocked and staged. Kind of costumed-ish. There's a dead body. We have a little bit of a set. We'll have a little bit of, you know, feelings of it. And then I would say just continue to follow me, and I will hopefully have more posts about the play.
So exciting. Up. So happy for you and excited for you. It sounds fucking awesome, Drew. It really does. So that's it for this episode of our Dumb Gay Podcast.
Thank you guys for listening to our stupid fucking podcast. We love and appreciate all 14 of you so much. If you're new here and you like us, but you'd rather not hear about politics, or even if you're not new here, please consider checking out our goddamn Patreon podcast. Our Patreon podcasts are completely different than this one. We do 3 a week. They're all an hour long. They come out Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. There's no politics, no ads, no pressure to join the Patreon or to leave a review or to buy a cameo. We don't harass you to do anything, but send us in blind items for Blind Item
Friday. Exactly. If you haven't tried it, please give it a chance. You can sign up for $4 a month. That is literally the cheapest Patreon subscription out there. For $4 a month, you will get a 1 hour long podcast that comes out every Wednesday. On Wednesdays, Brandy and I do The Wrong Side of the Takes, where we discuss our most unpopular opinions on whatever pop culture subject floats our boat for that week.
Just try it out for a month, please. It's only $4. If you don't like it, you can cancel it anytime. But if you do like it and you think you want more, you can upgrade to only $8 a month. Still very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Cheapest thing out there for all the content you get, because you get 3 separate hour-long podcasts a week. Wednesdays, like you said, Wrong Side of the Takes. Thursdays, Open for Anything. And on Fridays, we do blind items, questions, advice, and listener requests.
There's a link to a free episode in the description below this podcast, or you can go to our website, julieandbrandy.com, and there's a button on every page that says click to listen to our free Patreon episode.
And as always, it's been real and it's been fun.
But mostly, it's been gay and it's been dumb.
And Messy White Gay.
Messy White Gay.
Drew Drogi. Mm-hmm. We got to see that show.
How'd you do I? See you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candyman. Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you a rhyme, maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat wheel. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night?
Night.
Or maybe a bite.
Night.
I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hey, hey, I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.